Reading from the Holy Gospel of Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. So at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. The television in the last few days has been preoccupied with the visit of Francis to Mexico. And as in every other visit, he's making a tremendously powerful impression on the people, calling them to accountability, at the same time doing it with a sense of compassion and love and focus. I have a particular kind of positive attitude toward this one because he's on his way now, when I'm probably by the time this is being preached, the 17th, he'll be in Morelia, which is right in the center, the geographical center of Mexico. I spent a number of summers there with student groups working among the people who had very little, to as a part of an organization called Amigos Anonymous. I think the organization is probably not existing anymore. But it was an important time when college students from all over the West, at that time all over the West Coast and the United States, came together and prepared themselves as well as they could for the cultural shift as they would go to Mexico. They lived in small communities and did their best to preach the gospel by doing everything from teaching water rules to learning about planting seed or painting houses. At the same time, they had a kind of a gospel spirit where I celebrated Mass as I wandered around to these 17 villages where we had people working. And it was a wonderful experience. I mean, it was obviously, as in most of those cases, we came home having given something but taken much more with us, learned much more than we gave. In today's gospel, Jesus is saying to us, it is absolutely essential, if you're going to follow me, that you need to recognize the responsibilities you have in making that decision. And it requires a kind of a conversion of heart that happens to each person if you're going to be an effective minister of the word and of the deed. And in that conversion, we learn something about ourselves. We learn something about the needs that should be met. And finally, we learn about how we can put our talents to the resolution of the problems that we see in front of us. So it's a kind of a complicated process, but it's at the same time fairly simple. The gospel gives us a kind of a sample of what's expected of us, that we need to relate to the people who are there, recognize that we are brothers and sisters, recognize that we believe in the same God and we follow the same gospel, and also recognize the differences between those of us who are there helping and those of us, we hope, who are there to be helped. The need for each of us to make this kind of conversion before we offer ourselves in service is essential. We're looking for a sign. How do we know that Jesus is the one? How do we know that this responsibility is something that we need to take seriously? And the answer to that, essentially, is we need to see whether or not we can put together our talents and the people's needs. that we can do something that's creative and helpful, bringing all of us into a sense of community and a sense of service. I can remember so many times when these kind of bright and fairly well-to-do young people would confront a situation of what we would call abject poverty here and learn from the experience. In one particular situation, we came to a small village, and the day before, the mayor of the city and the governor of the state and the archbishop had all come to bless a new public toilet. There was a huge fiesta, lots of balloons, lots of colorful things, and apparently lots of food. So as we got there, the mayor said to us, "Would you like to see our new public bathroom?" And we said, "Sure, you know, we'll do whatever you want us to do." We went into this kind of a bunker-like building right in the middle of this village, and as we opened the door, there were urinals and stalls and so forth, the normal kinds of things you'd see in a public toilet. But in the urinals, there was hay, and the cows were feeding out of the urinals the hay. The stalls became drinking places, and so somebody asked the mayor, "What in the world is this all about? Why does this happen?" And he laughed a little bit, and he said, "Oh, well, we needed a gymnasium to play basketball and to let the young people exercise and so forth. But the governor thought we needed a toilet. So he built the toilet, and we accepted the gift graciously. And he said, you know, it isn't really a bad barn." Well, I think the students, and certainly I learned a lot from that, this service was beginning to take place not after careful reflection so that we can understand what we had to offer and what was needed. It was done by a predetermined plan that had very little to do with the needs of the people, and perhaps not much to do with us either. So this gospel is a kind of a kick in the behind that tells us to reach out, offer ourselves in service, but do it in a way that's fruitful. And the sign that it's working and that it's useful is that it is in fact working and useful. I mean, that's what we're looking for. We'll know that we're working according to God's plan when we do something that actually brings about a positive change in the situation. So Jesus preaches this clear message of mercy, of an inclusiveness, these important elements that bring the community together, tells us to look respectfully at the other, and when we've looked respectfully at the other, do something about seeing if we can't make life a little bit better. Now, that's not only useful to somebody who's going down to do a kind of a quasi-priest, Peace Corps gift. It's true for all of us every day. Who in our own world, in our own society, needs to be helped? Who needs to be given that kind of push, that kind of support? And what can I offer? And I don't make plans for people and then send them off to do whatever I think they should do. I try to figure out what the felt need is. What do they want? What do they feel they need? That's the first step in communication. So I do my best to work shoulder to shoulder with them, bringing about that change. And at that point, there can be a sense of community, and there can be a sense even sometimes of teaching, of real evangelization. So we hear in this gospel today, as we wander our way through Lent, that this is the time for us to reflect on our own gifts, the way we've been blessed, to figure out how can we get from our blessings a stage from which we can preach this sense of inclusiveness, this sense of mercy, this sense of hope. And when we figure out what we can offer as individuals, then we take the step forward and see if we can't make that gift. And we look for a sign to see whether or not it's working by making sure that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. It's what the people feel they need. It's what will change society in a positive manner. It's true for us in day-to-day life. You know, sometimes we think we're just a little bit more informed and knowledgeable than the other, and we can certainly go and fix them. Jesus never tells us to fix anybody. And as a result, sometimes we feel discouraged because we presume that we've been sent to fix people. Jesus says, no, you're sent to listen, to learn respect, and to establish community. In that sense of community, see if you can't change things for the better. So we're all given that responsibility. We're given that opportunity. And then we step back and see whether or not it's working by measuring whether or not people at the end come closer to one another in a sense of community and find a way to more deeply and more regularly, more naturally love God and love themselves and love one another. Blessings for Lent.